Well, thank you for being here tonight. Aren't you glad we serve a good, good Father?
Amen.
He is so good. And you know, He has good things for you. He wants to bless you in so many, so many ways. Well, tonight I'm going to speak on living by faith. And it's a really simple word, and I'm going to share passages you've heard before. But I want to encourage you, open up your heart and allow the seed of the Word of God to go deep down into your heart so it will produce the fruit and produce what you want in your life. And before I begin, I want everybody in here to think about something that you're believing God for that you can't see it yet. It might be a healing, and particularly if it's something that you've been trying to believe for a really long time, okay? It could be a healing. It could be a relationship restored. Maybe you need a job. Maybe your finances need to be overhauled. Maybe you need to have wisdom in some area of your life. But whatever it is, I want you to kind of keep that in mind as I'm bringing the word this morning or this evening, because I believe God has something that will show you, just like He is showing me. And this message is for me as well, to show you how to live by faith, how to truly believe God for that thing that you want so badly and that He wants to give you. So living by faith. You know, faith is precious to God. It's very important to Him. It says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We can't please Him unless we have faith. So faith is really important. So what is faith? Well, the scripture is very good to describe to us what faith is. It's found in Hebrews 11, verse 1. You know, I remember memorizing this verse as a child in VBS one summer to get a prize. I memorized this verse, and I remembered it all these years, and I believe that was appointed by God. Even as a little child, He knew I was going to need that verse. He knows us, doesn't He? But here we go, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, faith is something that we confidently expect. It's when you confidently expect something that you cannot yet see. Faith is when you confidently expect what you cannot see. Because see, if you can feel it, if you can see it, if you can feel it, then you can't be in faith about it. Because once you can touch it and see it, there's no more need for faith. Faith is something that you are expecting to happen. If it's faith, it's not seen, and it's not yet in this natural world. But now the faith, it is in your heart, and you see it with eyes of faith. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 24, we're going to start in the middle of the verse. It says, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. See, what is Bible hope? Bible hope, when you see that word hope, you can just replace that with confidently expect. Bible hope is to confidently expect something. Bible hope is not wishing. So we have to make that switch in our mind. I've said this before, because that's what we're used to. When we say hope, we think wish. But when you read hope in the Bible, it's not wish. It's confidently expect. Being in faith will put you in a state of expecting. And our expecting, this is important, don't miss this. Our expecting is based on what God has to say in His Word. It has to be based on the Word of God. Now, with this thing I said you'd be thinking about, what are you believing God for? Let me ask you, do you find yourself really just wishing that it would happen? You may say to me, well, you know, I can see that. I'm wishing. And I want to be in a place of faith, but I'm not there yet. I want faith that sees results, but I'm afraid, and I'm just not sure. You may be at the stage of thinking, well, maybe He will heal me, and maybe He won't. Maybe you're wavering back and forth like that wave of the sea tossed back and forth. You just don't know. Maybe for you right now, the circumstances are just overwhelming. You can't get past what you're seeing in this natural realm. If you are there and I have been there. I have good news for you tonight. Good news. You can start tonight believing. You can start tonight. God's not going to hold the past against you. All those days you've been wavering, He's not going to hold that against you. You can start tonight learning how to believe God and trust Him and see the answer to your prayers. You can have that faith that produces results. And how do you get that kind of faith? The same way that Jesus did. You know, Jesus was a man of faith. And how did He have such great faith that He could do such miracles in this world? Because the number one thing is He had a close relationship with His Father. You can have a close relationship with your Heavenly Father. Nothing stands in your way. The only thing standing in your way is you. Your excuses. Your schedule. Whatever. You can have a close relationship with the Father. He is the one waiting. He is the one knocking on your door. You have to open the door to let Him in. He's not going to force His way in. You must open the door and allow Him to come in. That's how you can begin building a strong faith and a belief in God's Word. You can have the same faith that Jesus had by having a close relationship with the Father. And you have to realize also that you have the same Holy Spirit on the inside of you that He had that will teach you and help you all along the way. You can say, well, if you're not fully persuaded what the Word of God has to say about your situation, you can become that way if you'll just spend enough time in the Word to get it down deep in your heart. If you'll just spend time fellowshipping with Jesus, then your expectation will begin to get greater and greater. And you'll become more and more persuaded that, for example, if you were sick, you'll become more and more persuaded that God really does want you to be well. I remember a time when I was not sure if God wanted me to be well. I was facing sickness, but I just didn't know. I knew that He healed, but I just wasn't sure. There was a bit of unsurety in there. You know, it took me several weeks getting into the Word of God and listening to messages about healing. And weeks I just spent immersing myself in the Word of God. But I got to the place where I believe God wants me well. Period. Always. He always wants me well. I know He wants you well. How can I have that confidence? The Word of God. I had to spend time in it, get into it, and get it down deep in my heart. And see, you can do that too. You can get in the Word and become confident and fully persuaded what it says to you. You know, recently, I got really upset about something. And I really got really upset because I had been praying and believing God. And it looked like what I had been praying and believing God for so long for just, I mean, I thought it was doing better, my hopes were dashed. And I was just so upset. I thought, God, I've been praying. I was just so upset. And within me, I knew, I thought, I want to be persuaded. I want to believe it. I wanted so bad to have faith, but I was just so struggling, and I wanted it to be instant. I wanted to instantly be believing again, but I found it really hard. So what did I have to do? I had to go to the Word of God. I had to read the Word. I had to pray. I had to get a place of praise and thanksgiving to God until that confidence and that persuasion in my spirit came back. You know, we want things instant, don't we? But it's just not always that way. Sometimes we just need to pay that price and get into the Word of God. Because if you do, if you'll read it, oh man, it just brings joy to your heart. Sometimes you have to fight to believe. You have this battle in your mind going on. You have to choose you're going to believe. It says in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. It's a good fight, but sometimes it's a fight. You've got to fight that fight of faith. You've got to fight to believe. When faith is not there, we need to do what it takes. And what does it take? Romans 10:19 says it takes faith. It says that faith comes by hearing the Word. If you want to have that faith, you've got to get into the Word of God. And allow Him, because when you open your Bible to read, in faith, if you read it in faith, you know, there's a difference between just reading it and reading it in faith. If you'll open it up thinking, no, this is God's Word, and Father, I pray You would minister to me, cause this Word to come alive in my heart as I read it. Guide and direct my steps. If you'll read it that way, it just comes alive on the inside of you. If you haven't done it, I challenge you, try it. You will absolutely love it. But when you become fully persuaded of what God has said, then you can stand in faith for what you cannot see. See, Romans 8:25 says, but if we hope, in other words, if we confidently expect for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. I like that. We eagerly wait. It's not a passive waiting to see if God's going to do anything or if He's going to answer our prayer. We eagerly wait knowing that it is coming. It's like a constant, steady expecting what must happen based on what God has told us in His Word about our situation. See, we don't have to know how God's going to do it. We don't have to understand everything. We just have to take those steps of faith as He gives it to us until we see it. Amen. Isn't that great? We don't have to understand it all. Oh, that is so reassuring. So what do you do when you don't see it, when you don't feel it, when you can't figure it out? What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to use your faith. That's where faith comes in. It says in Mark 11, 24, that great faith verse, Jesus said, therefore I say to you, what things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. How many have heard that verse before? Most everybody in here. We've all heard that verse, but you need to let that verse get deeper down into your heart. You've got to let it get deep inside. Allow the Holy Spirit to make it come alive and become real to you. By faith, we need to say things. I believe. When after you've prayed, you say, whatever you ask, believe that you receive. Then you will have it. When do you have it? After you believe. So we need to say things like, I believe I receive healing in my body. I believe I receive the finances I need. I believe I receive the wisdom I need to make the right decisions about my family and about my job and about the circumstances I'm dealing with. I believe I receive that restoration of that relationship at work. I receive it by faith. I say, I believe, I receive, and then I can go ahead and thank God for it, even though I haven't seen it yet, because I'm expecting it to happen. But you know, there's always that temptation to walk by sight. But 2 Corinthians 5:7 says to us who are believers, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. You know, to believe in spite of the circumstances, you have to be able to overcome how you feel. We have to learn to act like Abraham, who was fully persuaded that what God said to him, God told Abraham, He says, Abraham, you're going to have a son from your own body, and your wife Sarah is going to have that son. He was fully persuaded that God would perform what He said He would do. It says in Romans 4:20, He, speaking of Abraham, Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what God had promised him, he was able to perform. See, how did he give glory to God? He gave glory to God by faith. He didn't see it yet, but he was able to give glory to God by faith. You know, when he, as the years were rolling by, he's in his 90s. Sarah is in her 90s. Don't you know at night the devil would tempt him and say, look, you're not. It's never going to happen. What can Abraham do? He can go out at night and look at the stars and praise and thank God. God, I thank you. You said my descendants would be as the stars of the sky. And he could look at those stars and worship and give glory to God that he was a God of his word and he was going to do what he had to say. See, that's giving glory to God, and that would build his faith to be able to continue to believe. So I want to challenge you, that thing that you're believing God for, during the worship time, praise God for it. Praise God in advance and thank Him for healing you. Thank Him for restoring that relationship. Thank Him for providing that job that you need. Thank Him for that direction. Oh, I praise you, Father, and I thank you for it. That's thanking God in advance, in faith, and that pleases God. I tell you, the Word of God will never fail, and it will never pass away. And if you believe, and I know we've all been there at some point, sometimes you think, well, maybe God has failed me in some way. If you get to that point where you think that God has failed you and He's just is not going to answer your prayer, I'm going to tell you right now, you are deceived. Because God is a perfect God. He's perfect. Isn't it comforting to know He has never said, oops. He has never said to someone, oh, I didn't mean for that to happen. Now, we've said oops. I had to send a couple of oops today on my text messages. You know, and we do things we didn't mean to happen, but not God. See, when you don't understand something, you can trust in the character of your God. He is a God of His Word. He is always faithful. He never lies. He cannot lie. The Bible says He cannot lie. We know that He's loving and He's gracious and He's kind and He's merciful. You can rely on that when you don't understand. You just rely on that character of God. He'll come through for me. As a believer, I tell you, when you choose to live a life of faith, you've got to learn to hear, you've got to make yourself and hear yourself speaking words of faith. You got to speak words of faith out of your mouth. This Proverbs 18:21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So death and life, what you say is so very, very important. And I wanted to take a time to read a little example out of this book. And I wanted to read it because I didn't want to mess it all up. We'll just take just a second here. But this is an illustration about how important your words are. So, let me illustrate a very famous experiment on the power of your words that's performed by Dr. Emoto using water cooked, overcooked rice. Have any of you ever heard this? How many have heard this story before? A few of you have? You know, I've heard this story before, but I heard it again this weekend, and I tell you what, it came alive inside of me like I'd never heard it before. So let it do that for you tonight. See something new. I just know God wanted me to share this story. I got so excited when the Lord just brought that and told me to share it. Here we go. I'm sorry. Let's see. Using water overcooked rice. Dr. Emoto used three different containers with three different labels for each. He filled each container with cooked rice and then labeled them. So one container he labeled, thank you. Another one, you're an idiot. And he left one unlabeled. Every day for one solid month, Dr. Emoto would speak to the container based on the labels. He spoke pleasant, affirming words to the rice labeled thank you. He yelled harsh, demeaning words to the you're an idiot jar. And the third jar he simply ignored altogether. After 30 days of consistent treatment, the thank you rice began to ferment, looking appealing and giving off a strong, pleasant aroma. The you're an idiot rice turned mostly black and mushy, giving off a sour milk aroma. And the neglected rice simply began to rot and mold, turning a disgusting greenish-blue color. Since then, other scientists, college students, and even homeschoolers have duplicated the experiment, witnessing the same or similar results, proving how powerful your words are in producing the outcome in your life. Words are carriers of life and death. If rice can be affected by positive and negative words, as well as total neglect, then how much more can your circumstances be drastically affected by the same? Life and death are in the power of your words. How much more powerful are your words to bring change in your life when you speak the Word of God in faith? Think of that. Just these words spoken to rice, an inanimate object, made a difference to that rice. But your words, speaking God's words, the living, powerful Word of God out of your mouth over your situation, what a change that can make. It can make a huge change in your life. And I think we've heard that before, but we say it once or twice, a day or two. But what about trying it for 30 days and see what a difference it might make? Say it until the change happens. If you're in pain and something is wrong with your body, what is not? Healing. So what do? You use your words to call those things that be not as though they were. It says in Romans 4:17, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. If your body is not healed and you have pain in your body, that is all the more reason to call it healed. Believe that you are receiving the healing for your body. You know, sometimes you need to speak to specific parts of your body. You know, I read in the Bible how that Jesus prayed for a woman who had a high fever. And what did he say? He rebuked that fever in her body. He spoke to the fever, and the fever left. Have trouble with your heart? Speak to your heart. Say, in the name of Jesus, heart, you beat right. Have high blood pressure? In the name of Jesus, blood pressure in my body, you be normal. Blood pressure, you come down in Jesus' name. I command you to come down and be normal. It sounds odd, doesn't it? But do that every day. Powerful words from the Word of God. I like to do this when I speak to my immune system, especially when bugs are going around. I want to speak to my... I wish I'd done this a month ago before I got sick that time. I didn't think about this. But, you know, I'm saying, God, I pray over my immune system. I say, God, I pray you give my body strength, immune system. You function the way you're supposed to. You be strong. You fight off every disease. You fight off every sickness in the name of Jesus. You can speak the word of God. I believe that Jesus took my infirmities. He bore my sickness and my pains. Do you need peace in your life? The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Jesus bore that for me. I can have peace. So we use our words to speak life. Use our words. When you speak the word of God, there is absolutely nothing like it. When you ask for forgiveness, let's say you blew it really bad and you feel it really bad. I mean, you blew it really, really, really bad. And you're having trouble forgiving yourself. What do you do? I mean, you've already asked God to forgive you and you still feel bad. Use the words of your mouth. Father, I thank you that you have forgiven me. The word of God says that your blood washes me clean and I accept your forgiveness. I thank you, Father, that your blood is enough. That I will not discount your blood by not believing that it was strong enough to cleanse me and make me whole. Use your words. If you'll do that, eventually your feelings are going to line up with it, with your words. You'll have victory. Here's an indicator. I love this. Of whether you're believing or not. If you have faith about something, then you're going to be rejoicing, you're going to be giving thanks, and you're going to be glad. But if you're in doubt, you're going to be in despair, you're going to be grumbling and complaining, and you're going to be sad. It says in Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith. Actually, living by faith is the normal way a Christian should be living, whether we see it or whether we feel it. You know, the greatest example that we have of a person of faith in the Bible is Jesus himself. Jesus is our greatest example of a person who lived by faith in very difficult times. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, what is this great cloud of witnesses? It's talked about in chapter 11. All those heroes of faith, Moses and Abraham, all of the patriarchs in the Old Testament, how that they lived and walked by. Those are our witnesses that we look and see how the people in the Old Testament, how Noah walked by faith to be able to build a boat when it looks like there was nothing, and how Moses would all the things that he did. Those are men of faith. Those are witnesses that we can look at how to live by faith. As we keep our eyes on them, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. In other words, we don't give up on our fight of faith. We have made the decision. We are not going to give up on our fight of faith. We're going to put around aside the things that tear us down. We're going to put aside that sin that is an attack against our faith, and we're going to keep our eyes. And what it says on verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus, who is the faith master, he was a man of faith. Jesus, who for the joy that was before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus went to the cross by faith. He did that. He went to the cross by faith because he believed. What was his faith? He believed that his sacrifice would save the world. He went by faith, knowing his sacrifice was going to save the world. But how could he endure that cross, that pain that he endured, because of the joy that was set before him? His joy, because he knew what the cross was going to accomplish. He was seeing you being saved. He was seeing me. He was seeing all those that would, with what was going to be the healing, the restoration. He was seeing you and me on the cross. And that was his joy. He saw all that the cross would accomplish. Remember that thing I said you'd be thinking about? What are you believing God for? I'm telling you, that problem that you're facing today is only momentary. What is the joy in front of you? What joy are you looking at? What are you looking at to have joy in your heart about that situation? What are you expecting? So if you have a need, the Word says in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And if that says he supplies all my needs and I can deal with what is happening, if you have a financial need, the Word says that he will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And you say, but it's really, really bad right now and it's hard. But see, you can endure that if you'll stop looking at the circumstances and look at the Word of God. We have to learn to have an eternal perspective on life. We need to live each day with eternity in mind. And see, and that will help us get through the trivial and even the hard things of today. I tell you, when my joy level gets low about something I'm believing for, I have to go to the Word. And it could be something that I just know that before I was like way up here believing God, but maybe today I'm just kind of way down here. I'm having a hard time. What do? I don't give up. I pull out my Bible and I go to my scriptures. I don't like to just quote them. I like to open it and look at it. I'm looking and I'm seeing what God's Word that I know it says, but I know that this is for me. And I look at it and I can tell you it brings joy in my heart and it brings my joy back, my joy level back up. And when the battle is fierce, you may have to do that several times a day. When right now is not pleasant, you got to learn to switch channels in your mind. You got to learn to see with eyes of faith. I expect the Word of God to come to pass in my life. Can you say that? I expect the Word of God to come to pass in my life. Say it again. I expect the Word of God to come to pass in my life. See, you can be happy about that. You can be happy if you're fully persuaded. I want to conclude with a story about Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas, men of God, they were in a bad place. And they're going to show us what to do when we're in a bad place. Acts chapter 16, verse 22. Paul and Silas, they have made some people really mad. So here we are, we're taking up the story, verse 22. The multitude rose up together against them, speaking about Paul and Silas, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. I think they were pretty mad, don't you? Verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes, they didn't just whack them a few times, many times. They are beating and beating and beating on these men. Beating them, beating them. That's just hard to imagine. Many stripes on them, they threw him into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. See, they were beaten badly. They were in a position where they couldn't move. I would say this is pretty terrible circumstances, wouldn't you? And when you find yourself in a terrible situation, you need to learn to do what Paul and Silas did. Verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They were praying and singing hymns. Notice that what they did not do. Notice, Paul and Silas did not say, well, we must have missed God. Or, I just don't know if we'll ever get out of this place. They weren't crying. They weren't singing a sad song. Because that's not what faith does. These were men of faith. Notice they did not ask why. Why, God? Why did you let them beat us like this? Here we are. We're trying to do your will. We're ministering about you. And then you allow us to be beaten like this. Now, you need to watch out about asking too many whys to God. There will always be things that you don't know. There will be things that you will not understand in life. And you don't have to understand to have faith. That's why faith is so wonderful. You may not have a clue why or how, but you can believe. And how can you tell if you're believing? You're going to have some joy. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. Here they are in their darkest hour. And what were they doing? They were praying and singing praises to God. And we need to learn to do that. That is a faith that truly pleases God. And what was the result? Instead of griping and complaining, which, you know, they seems like they had a right to gripe and complain and ask why, doesn't it? But not to faith people who trust in their God, who believe and trust in Him. Acts 16, verse 26. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. See, it pleased God so much. There they are praying to God and they're singing hymns even though they're hurting. Don't you know they hurt? They're bleeding. They're in a horrible, stinky place. But they're praying and they're singing to God. And it pleased God. And He came down on the scene and rescued them. Faith is wonderful. It's a wonderful thing. How can we get past the hurt? How can you get past what you see? You would do it the same way Jesus did. The joy that is set before you. What is your joy? What is set before you? I tell you, my joy is that my God is a good God. My joy is that the Word of God promises healing, wholeness. It promises restoration. It promises that I can have peace. He promises to direct and guide me, to always be with me, to never leave me. He never forsakes me. That's my joy. The Word of God is my joy. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. It says in 1 John 5:4, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith is what overcomes the world. And what is faith? What is faith? Faith is something that we are praying for. We confidently expect, even though we cannot see it, we know it's coming. And I believe I receive. This, that, what I'm experiencing now is only temporary because I believe I receive the answer that I need. I believe I receive. Do you believe it tonight? Amen. Amen.